Okay, good evening to everyone.
Good evening.
I'm glad to see you and meet with you on this 15th day of May in the year 2022. We praise God for this another day that He has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad in it. I'm Sister Valmajean Sanders. Most of you know that, but perhaps someone does not. If we have anyone that is new to our class, we welcome you, I welcome you, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We praise the Lord Jesus, and we thank God for so loving the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today we continue in our study from the Gospel according to Luke. We are currently in Luke chapter 17. We started at Luke chapter 1 quite some time ago. We are now in Luke chapter 17, and our concentration of study will be from verses 20 through the end of the chapter. We will not be able to cover the chapter in its entirety, I don't believe, but that's the passage. Our home-based passage for this evening. I hope that you have taken the time to read Luke chapter 17. If you have not, especially if you have not read it recently, I encourage you to read that passage of scripture when you have the opportunity. As most of you all know, don't depend on me or anyone else as your sole source of reading and studying God's word. First of all, we rely on the Lord and the Holy Spirit to teach us His word. So make sure you always pray that the Lord will give you understanding. Each one of us have to do that, regardless of how long or how short you've been studying the word. We all need the Holy Spirit to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So be study begins in prayer. Also, the objective of study, one main objective, is to know Him, to know the Lord in a personal relationship. That is what it's all about, really, is that the relationship that was broken at the point of sin, the relationship between God and man, was broken. And so one main purpose of God's word and a lamp unto our feet, light unto our path, is to lead us to Him. To study, yes, but even more so than study is to know Him. And so that is one main objective of our Bible study, is that we might know Him. We learn from the Bible, God's word, but we want to know Him through His word. So I welcome you this evening, regardless of where you may be in your Bible reading or Bible study. Some are just starting out in Bible study. Others have been studying for years. But wherever you may be in your walk with the Lord, we welcome you in the name of Jesus. God's word is good for all, and it can feed, His word can feed each one of us. Even though we come from different backgrounds, we all come from different backgrounds, different paths. Some of our backgrounds, if we had the time to really sit down and talk to each other, we would find out we have a lot of similarities. But we would also find out when we would listen to each one of our stories and our testimonies. And someday we're going to have a special time of just sharing on our walk with the Lord and how we got to know the Lord and the experiences we have had with the Lord. And you'll find out, wow, I never knew that about her or him. Well, there will be a lot of that, things we don't know about each other that we can learn from. And some of our paths are so different one from the other. So we'll do that at the appointed time. Tonight, our assignment from the Lord is Luke chapter 17. Well, let's first go to the Lord in prayer and then we're going to continue in study. I hope you have a Bible. Always say if you go to a Bible study, you don't have to open your Bible study. And you don't have to open your Bible. That's a sign of something, and it's not a good sign. You should always need your Bible and Bible study. Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Greatest name, precious name, powerful name, the name that you have given to man. We praise you, whereby we can and must be saved. The name of Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus Christ. We worship you, God, the Almighty, Holy God. You are worthy to be worshiped, bowed down to reverence, silence before you. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent. And Lord God, we are silent and we be still in our heart and we know that you are God. And then the same God commands us to praise him with high sounding cymbals. Praise the Lord. So we thank you, Lord God, whatever way we may come in this hour in our hearts, in our path along life's way, we thank you that you can receive our praise through Jesus Christ the Lord. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that never loses its power. We thank you for the effectiveness of the blood. It continually cleanses us from sin, and we thank you. We thank you for Jesus, our great high priest. We still need a priest, and we thank you that the priest is Jesus. No man can come to the Father except he come through Jesus, except he come through blood, except he come through water, except he come through a high priest. And we thank you for Jesus. We have an advocate, and we have a high priest in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now, Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our sins, whatever they may be. We ask you to strengthen us where we're weak, build us up where we're torn down. We ask you now to give each one of us the eyes of understanding, spiritual understanding, Lord. Help us to see, help us to hear what thus saith the Lord. We ask you to give us a spirit to want to hear, to give us a spirit to want to obey. We ask you to help us, Lord. Strengthen us, yes, where we're weak. And then, Lord God, help us. Help us, Lord God, to hear your voice and be quick to say yes to the Lord. Help us, Lord. We thank you for what you've already done in our lives. When we look at our lives and look back over our lives, even this past week, we can say he has done great things for me. And you, Lord, has made us glad. We thank you for this beautiful day. At least here in Omaha, it's a pretty day that the Lord has made. We thank you that you put green in the grass and no one can change its color. You put green there, Lord God, from the beginning, and we still pass by a lawn and say, oh, how beautiful. We thank you, Lord. It was God who put the green in the grass and the blue in the sky and the clouds and all of it. How great you are. We praise you. Thank you for one another, Lord. We thank you for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who we need on this journey, Lord. How we praise you. We pray for one another in each need. All of us have needs, Lord God. And we pray for one another, Lord. Strengthen us. Strengthen us all, Lord. Help us to be strong in the faith. Help us to grow in grace. And now be with the absent part of us, for those who wanted to be with us this evening but could not for whatever the reason. We remember them in prayer. We pray for all saints, Lord, all saints all over the world. We lift up those who are being persecuted, those who have to flee, those who have to run, Lord God, those who are homeless, those who are in war-torn countries, those who are in prison, those who are persecuted, those who are hungry, those who are in famine. We lift them all up before you, Father. But by the grace of God, so go I. And Lord God, we just want to pray for hurting people, Lord, all over the world. If people ever needed the Lord before, they sure do need you now, and we need you now as well. Now take us into our study, Lord, and glorify your name, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, good evening to anyone who has joined us. I'm Sister Velma Sanders, and we are continuing in our study from Luke chapter 17. This evening, we'll be reading, we're going to start our reading at Luke chapter. Is Sister Catherine Murphy with us this evening?
Yes.
Okay, Catherine is with us. Sister Sharon Young is with us. Sister Sadie Cole, she's with us or not? Sharon, is Sister Sadie with us?
No, Sister Sadie is not with us.
Okay, that's okay. And Deacon Young. Okay, we're going to start our reading this evening. I'm going to ask if Sister Murphy, Catherine, would read her verses, and then Sister Young will read her verses. And then we'll, if we have time left, we'll go into Sister Cole's verses, 26 through 31. Let's read Sister Catherine, Sister Young, and let's just read Catherine and Sharon. Okay, Sister Murphy.
I can restate this.
Well, let's just stop. Let's just read Sister Murphy and Sister Young right now, and we'll see how far we get. Okay.
Is that through 11 through 20, Sister?
Sister Murphy, through 11 through 19.
19, okay.
And then Sharon, 20 through 25.
Okay, and I'll start reading. And now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men.
Wait a minute, wait. We're in Luke chapter
17.
Beginning at verse 20.
Oh, 20?
I may have said something else.
Okay.
Actually, beginning at verse 20.
Okay, I will start reading. This is Sharon Young and verse 20.
Okay, my mistake.
No.
Okay, everyone, so we're clear. We're reading Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 20.
Okay.
Amen. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." Then he said to the disciples, "The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look here,' or 'Look there.' Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation."
Okay, so that's where we're going to stop right now. I'm going to go on. Deacon, would you start at verse 26 for me?
Yes, ma'am. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field Let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there would be two men in one bed. One would be taken and the other would be left. Two women would be grinding together. The one would be taken and the other left. Two men would be in the field. The one would be taken and the other left. And they answered and said to him, "Where, Lord?" So he said to them, "Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together."
Amen. Thank you. Blessed is the word of the Lord. Now we notice in this chapter, or in this passage that we're looking at, one thing that stands out to me, even as we were reading it right now, and you all hear me talk about mathematical terms, such as there's a lot of adding in the Bible, adding, subtracting, division, multiplication, all of that, there's a lot of it. Well, in chapter where we just studied, you can notice, if you notice closely, there's a lot of division, a lot of splitting in two, a lot of things being one, but then becoming two. And you see that, it's all throughout this passage where there's one and then it becomes two. So notice that as we are reading. Now, when we go back to Luke chapter 17 here in verse 20, just bringing us up to where we left off on last week. Verse 20 says, "Now when he, Jesus, was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you.'" Well, we saw on last week, if we had to put a title, or someone asked, what is this passage all about? Well, we see the word kingdom. The word kingdom shows up at least three times right here in these two verses. We see the word kingdom in verse 20, where it says the kingdom of God would come. And that was what the Pharisees wanted to know. They wanted to know, when will the kingdom of God come? Then Jesus answers them and he says, well, it will not come with you just putting on some eyeglasses or putting contacts in your eyes. You can't see the kingdom of God with the natural eye. The kingdom of God indeed is very real. It's more real than this natural world that we see. I mean, we can see with these eyes that God gave us. We can see all kinds of things. God has made man so marvelous that we could sit right here, wherever you may be. And God has enabled us, and how great is our God, that we can see all over. We can see to the moon and beyond. How great is our God. But one thing we cannot see, along with a whole lot of other things, is we cannot see with the natural eye the kingdom of God, at least in this present state and dispensation that we are in. Now, there will be a time where every eye shall see. But at this time, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. You can't see it. You can look all day, and you will not be able to see the kingdom of God with natural understanding. So if someone says, according to verse 1, if someone, 21, someone comes along and they say, "Look here, see here." In other words, they say, "I can take you to the kingdom. I know where God lives. I can show you the kingdom of God." And there's been many people, false prophets, many throughout the ages, even from the beginning, including the devil himself, because the devil himself said, "Oh, God's holding back something from you. God's not telling you the whole story." And Satan, even then, was doing what? Out to deceive man. Deceive man through what? same way he did in the garden, out to deceive through that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so in verse 21, it's the same weapon that Satan has used from the beginning, is seeking us to go beyond what God would have for man to have. So in verse 21, if anyone should say, see here or see there, well, Jesus lets us know, don't be deceived. You can't see the kingdom of God with the natural eye. You must be born again, first of all. And even after the new birth, you can't see the kingdom of God. We can see in part what God reveals to us. We can see by faith what God has revealed to us. But to actually see the kingdom of God in its entirety, we must be changed. We have seen in part. I know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray you know that as well. How do we know it? How do we know that? Well, you have to know it, not that you can read up on it. And faith does come by hearing, praise God, and hearing the word of God. So we do have to have the word of God. We need the Spirit of God as well to open to us spiritual truth. So first of all, don't be deceived. That's what verse 20 and 21 is letting us know. The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here, see there. The kingdom of God, where is it? The kingdom of God is spiritual. It is within you. It is revealed by the Holy Spirit. And in that sense, you can, I know the Lord, not in his fullness, of course, but I know the Lord, and I know that he knows me. Well, how do you know that, you may ask? And that's a good question. I know it because I have a relationship with him. I've talked to the Lord, and he talks to me. I ask him, and you all should talk to the Lord like you talk to someone else. Of course, he is the Lord. There is a difference. Now, God is not our buddy. You know, sometimes we get just a little too friendly. And God is what a friend we have in Jesus. But the Lord is God, and he is to be approached in reverence. He's always to be approached in reverence. We come before him with rejoicing, but we also come before him with trembling. And so this verse goes on to let us know, these verses, we can know the Lord, but the Spirit of God must reveal to us the things of God. And then the next passage is prophecy. This whole passage that we're in is talking about prophecy. They wanted to know, the Pharisees, about the kingdom of God. When would it come? Well, Jesus lets them know, really, the kingdom is already here. The kingdom of God is already here. If you're in the spirit and born again, you can see the portion of the kingdom that God would have us to see. In verse 23, now it specifically says, then he said to the disciples, the days will come. Now that's prophecy. The Bible has a lot of different aspects to it. And one aspect to it is prophecy. Prophecy foretells things that will be in the future, but prophecy also looks back to the past. There's a lot of prophecy, and you might not think of it as prophecy, but it's actually just something that happened in the past. A lot of things that happened in the past will come back around in the future. Same thing that was done in the past will come back in the future. And we'll see that in our study on this evening. So verse 22 says, then he said to the disciples, the days will come when you desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. So that's a prophecy right there where Jesus tells the disciples, they will say to you, future. They will say to you, look here or look there. Well, that's in verse 23. But we also saw it in verse 21. Is that right? Verse 21. Yes, in verse 21. In verse 21, it says, nor will they say, see here or see there. You know, people be saying, he's here or he's there. Verse 22 comes back and says, the days will come when they will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. So people have been saying that from the beginning, as it were. Look here, I can show you Jesus. I know where Jesus is. I know what book you need to read. And you know, there's all kind. I don't see him hardly ever at all. But I'm sure it's plenty of commercials and infomercials and all kind of things, depending on what you follow. And there's all kind of false prophecy books that want to show you and give you hidden knowledge. 13 keys to this and 14 keys to that. Well, we have to be aware, and we can't be gullible, and we're not to be ignorant. So if someone says to you, verse 23, look here or look there, Jesus says, I already told you. I'm telling you, it happened back in the past, and it will happen again, where people will be saying, here he is or there he is. And Jesus warns us, and we can't think, don't think you can't be fooled. As I shared on last week, I have been deceived. God opened my eyes, and I pray if I'm deceived in any area, even now, that God will open my eyes to see the truth. That is a continual prayer. Lord, lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Lord, lead me and guide me in truth. So verse 23, look here or look there. Do not go after them. So that is a warning to his people, to us. And that's why you say, oh, I would never do that. I would never believe that. How could they do that? How could they follow after a Jim Jones? How could they do that? It can happen. And it does happen every day. Matter of fact, if you look back over your life, some more so than others, but I think all of us to some degree, if you look back over your life, you can see if it had not been for the Lord, I would have gone in a totally different direction. If it had not been for the Lord, I would have gotten off into this or that, some false doctrine, some false teacher or something. I can remember as a teenager, and I don't want to stay too much on this. I just want to emphasize these things are real. These things happen. And some of you, probably quite a few of you, of us, have experienced this. I mean, I can remember even as a teenager, there was a group in school. I don't know if I was in high school or junior high school, but they were off into, and to some degree I was involved some kind of way, off into seances and trying to connect and hear things. And I don't remember all that happened because God didn't let me stay there. God delivered me from that quickly. But it's still going on today. These so-called hidden arts. And they're not hidden anymore. Everything now is like coming out in the open. So the point is, all of us can be fooled, except the grace of God leads us, guides us, deliver us. So we want to remain humble, at least to the point, humble to the point of, Lord, lead me and guide me. If I'm on the wrong way in any area of my life, lead me, guide me, deliver me. And you say that, you don't have to say it in fear. We just say it trusting God. He is our shepherd. We all have a path. Every one of us has a path in our lives. And you can look back, the older you get, because I'm older now, I can't even say I'm young at this point, but I can look back over my life at this age that I am in, and I can see, and you can see too, especially if you reflect on your life, how God led you at different points and different stages of your life. Verse 23, and they say to you, look here, look there, don't go after or follow them. We're not to follow them. And then Jesus says, for as, that's an equal sign. Let me tell you, it's just like this. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. So there's a plus and an equal sign there. And the Bible lets us know, don't let anyone say, here he is, there he is. Because when Jesus comes, and this is a prophecy, and by the way, and I don't want to assume that everyone knows this, most of you probably do, but all of us had to learn it. Jesus is going to come again. Now, we can go into a whole nother study right on that. But let me just simply say, Jesus, and Lord, help me, lead me, guide me. Jesus, the Christ, God became a man. God is eternal. He has always been, without beginning, without end. He is the everlasting Father. He is God. God manifested in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. That's what we believe as Christians. There is one God, only one God. There are not three gods. And it's important to know that there are not three gods. When you're talking about the true God, one God, capital G, manifested in three persons. And we call that the Godhead. Some say the Trinity. But the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God became a man. Now, God has always been without beginning, without end. He is the everlasting Father. He is eternally God. But in time, when I talk about time, I'm talking about those things that happen under the sun. And when we say under the sun, which is a phrase that is used commonly in the book of Ecclesiastes, the things under the sun. Well, under the sun, you have time. Time has not always been, T-I-M-E. Time was created by God. Time has not always been. Time was created by God. And we know that because in Genesis, the Bible tells us, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So that was the start of time. There will be an end to time. And we're in this season, all of us under the sun, are in this season called time, which had a beginning. Time will have an end. Now, many things have happened since that in the beginning. What's one thing that has happened since in the beginning? Well, one thing is we have happened since in the beginning. We were created in this specific period of time. Well, what specific period of time? Well, we're in the time frame where we're here after Jesus came the first time. So we're in this dispensation of faith, of grace. We're in this dispensation under time where Jesus has already been here. And I pray all of you know that, but someone may not. Jesus has been here. And that's what we celebrate on what some call Christmas. I use the word Christmas, meaning that's the time we celebrate where God became a man. He always was. but God became a man. Why did he become a man? To get on our level, as it was, to redeem us. So the Lord, as it were, Lord, lead me, guide me, keep me in Luke here, became a man. And that is in time. He was a baby, because we come here as babies. God became that man. And as a man, he came in here in all points as we, yet without sin. However, his birth, we know, and his conception was miraculous. He came in here through a virgin birth. Why is that? Well, he had to come as a virgin through virgin birth without the assistance of that seed of man. God came. God himself, sinless Lamb of God, came, and he was the man. Now, Lord, lead me, guide me. God is the man. Now, we may be in this passage of study quite a while, because I'm going further now than I intended to. God is the man. Well, we know that God created man, right? God created man, Adam. Adam was the first man. And that's what the word Adam means. A-D-A-M, the Adamic race. Adam, the word means man. Someone asked you, what does Adam mean? Adam means man. God created man. And we can't think of another word for man. You can try to think of another word for man. Humanity. It encompasses all of humanity. God created man. Well, we know what happened. Man sinned. And the whole human race fell because of Adam's sin. Why is that? Because Adam was head of the race, meaning Adam was the first man. God didn't have to create another man. God ain't had to create another moon. God has not created another sun. We may discover other moons and sun, but God created that one man named Adam. But then Adam sinned. We know what happened. And when Adam sinned, the entire human race fell. The entire human race sinned. There has not been a sinless man, because when Adam fell, being head of the race, he pulled us all down. And that's that domino effect. And you know, all know about the domino theory, the domino effect. You tap that one domino and everything under that domino falls. And that's what happened when Adam, first man, sinned. Well, God, praise the Lord. And this, I love the saying, God created, made a way out of no way. Here comes the virgin birth. And the Lord, praise his name. God can do what no one else can do. God became a man, second man, a new race. God became a man, Jesus Christ, head of a brand new race. And that's why virgin birth, because he did not come the way that we came. He couldn't come. Man was sin. Man was full of sin. Couldn't help but sin. Everybody sins. That's what's in us. From the baby on, sin. Born in sin. So God creates this new man, Jesus Christ. God became a man. Let me say it like that. God became a man. Now, as a man, that's why the Bible lets us know we must be born again. We have to be born again. For what reason? Because we were first born in sin. We come here as sinners, and you can't get to heaven with sin on you. No one can get to heaven with sin. We must be born again. Well, here comes Jesus as our Redeemer. Here comes Jesus as head of a new race. And when you're born again, we pass from life unto death, meaning we are quickened in the spirit. We have the Spirit of God in us. We have the life of God in us. And all that has to happen before you die physically. And so Jesus comes. Now, how I got off on this, what I'm talking about, I'm not quite sure how I got there. But I got there from Luke chapter 17. So let me go back to Luke chapter 17. Let's go back to Luke 17. And it tells us in Luke 17, don't be deceived. Verse 23. Folks will say, will want you to follow after false people. Don't follow them. And then verse 24 says, as the lightning flashes out of one part of heaven, shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. That's how I got there. Now, this is talking about the second coming. We know that Jesus already came, first coming. That was his first coming. Well, when he came the first coming, and that's what we celebrate around what we call Christmas, and it's okay to say Christmas, but we're celebrating the first coming of Jesus. Well, this lets us know in verse 24, as the lightning flashes out of the one part under heaven, shines to the other part, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. And that's letting us know when Jesus comes again, it's going to be like it was as the lightning flashes from one part of heaven to the other part of heaven. In other words, at the second coming of the Lord, every eye will see him. There will be nothing hidden at his second coming. Now you think of his first coming, at the first coming of the Lord, and you all can do this on your own. Take a sheet of paper, divide it in two. At the first coming of the Lord, how did he come? At the second coming of the Lord, how will he come? Because we're in between. We're the church age, and we're in between the first coming of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord. Well, the first coming of the Lord, when Jesus came at first coming, everybody didn't see him. Everyone didn't know he was here. The shepherds, the wise men, the shepherds, they were saying, where is he? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Well, Jesus had been born King of the Jews, but there were some saying, where is he? Whereas at the second coming of the Lord, no one's going to say, where is he? Because if he's going to come, second coming, he's going to come like this lightning. Everybody's going to see him. Now, we see little shadows of this on earth. Like the other night, there was lightning in the sky. And that lightning is a frightening thing, especially when the Lord is letting that lightning go straight down. You know, lightning is a very frightening thing. But that lightning is a picture of how it will be when Jesus comes. Every eye shall see him. So verse 24, Luke chapter 17, the whole heavens will light up at the second coming of the Lord. So he says, don't be deceived. If somebody says there he is, no, that ain't it. Because when he comes, everybody will see him. And that's what it means when it says, so also the Son of Man will be in his day at the second coming. But verse 25, but first, now there we see there's a change of direction here. But first, meaning this is going to happen, there will be false prophets that will come. That's what he already let us know. That will happen. Then he tells us lightning, Jesus' second coming will be like lightning. But then in verse 25, but let me tell you what's going to happen in between that. Verse 25 says, but first. In other words, hold that thought on what I just told you in the previous verses. Let me back up a while, as it were, and tell you What must happen first? So now we know what? This is prophecy. It's further prophecy where scripture is letting us know of things that must happen. And notice that word must. But first, he must. Now, we've seen that before. And let's go back. It's been quiet a few chapters ago. But let's go back to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 22. It's been quite a while ago, but I did a teaching on things that must happen. And in verse 22, Luke chapter 9, it says, the Son of Man, saying, the Son of Man must suffer. Notice the word, he must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes. So all of that, the Son of Man must suffer. The Son of Man must be rejected. The Son of Man is Jesus. And be killed. The Son of Man must be killed. And be raised. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, must be raised on the third day. All of that is prophetic. For each of us, we can look back and say, those things have happened. Those things have happened. Jesus Christ suffered. Jesus Christ rejected. Jesus Christ killed. Jesus Christ raised from the dead. On the third day, we believe that by faith. We weren't there. You know, I can't say I was there when he was born. I believe it by faith. Those things have happened. But then when we look at Luke chapter, where we are now in Luke chapter 17, Luke chapter 17, verse 25. And verse 25 says, but first. Now, he already told us about false prophets and all that. And verse 25, Jesus says, verse 24, when Jesus comes again, he will come like lightning. Every eye shall see him. No one will be able to hide from him. In verse 25, but wait a minute. But first, he must suffer many things. Now, we in the church age, and I said this last week, and there are other ages, but we in the church age, which is part of time, and the church age started on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is when the church age started. I believe, now there are other beliefs, but I believe that the church age will end when Jesus comes to take the church from the earth before the tribulation period. Others believe differently regarding that. And I'll give one of the reasons why I believe it's before, even in our study here in Luke chapter 17. But Jesus lets us know in verse 25, but first, he must suffer many things. Now, we would say, I would ask you if we had time and we could unmute ourselves, has that happened? And we, most all of you would say, yes, Jesus suffered many things. It says he must suffer many things. But if I were to ask you, when did that happen? Or is that yet to happen? Has that prophecy fully been fulfilled? Well, we look at it, verse 25, first, he must suffer many things. And be rejected, Now that rejection covers a big span of time there. It's the time of his rejection. Even now, Jesus is despised and rejected of men. Most people do not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It is still his time. Now, the Lord, he suffered one time in the flesh. He ain't gonna suffer no more. Jesus is not suffering in that degree, but he suffers to the point with us as believers. The Lord suffers with us, our persecution, his persecution. But he's not feeling a nail in his hand today. So we're not talking about that. He's not suffering that physical persecution. But Jesus, even now, is still rejected. Now, you all know what rejection means. All of us have been rejected in life. That starts out even as a child. Even the kids on the playground can reject you. Even some people in their families have been rejected. Even in their own family, somebody favors one more than the other. I mean, really in an unequal way. So rejection happens on all kinds of levels. It's still going on today as far as this prophecy. He must suffer. And Jesus said, that's first. Well, we're still in this time. What time are we in? We're in between the first coming of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord. What happens in between the first coming of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord? A lot of things happen, but one thing that happens is Jesus must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. This generation. What generation? Well, all you have to do is look around. Jesus is rejected still today. Now, there is a remnant. I'm one of them, and you all are too. If you receive the Lord Jesus, love the Lord Jesus, praise the Lord Jesus, worship the Lord Jesus, whom we never seen, but we love him. We could talk about Jesus now and go into tears because we love him. We have a relationship with him. We praise him. You know, you feel it. You feel him in your spirit. But you know, as a Christian, you have been rejected. If you really are born again and you really living for the Lord, you feel to some degree that persecution and that persecution that comes from knowing Jesus. We still suffer with him. In that regard, the sufferings continue. And I believe 1st or 2nd Peter talks about that. His sufferings continue, but not like he's still hanging on the cross. Okay, so we're in this time now. I got to watch my time. We're in this time frame now between the first coming of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord. Now, I need to say in between the first coming of the Lord, a lot has happened. Let me go to the second, at the first coming of the Lord, and we did this months ago. We know that Jesus was born. We know that Jesus was crucified. He died. He was buried. He was resurrected. Then next, he was resurrected. Then he ascended. He went back to glory, right? Yes. He went back to glory. Yes. He has been exalted. He is king. He is exalted. And he is the Lord. But now you say, because we're in this time of in between, and you look at things on the earth and you say, really? Is Jesus really God? Doesn't look like it. Look like this ship is running off course. Looks like Jesus is not at the helm, or whatever it is. I'm not a shipman. It looks like the boat ain't on course. But we as Christians, we know our God reigns. We know it by faith. We got all kinds of reasons. We could tell you, God reigns. But naturally, in the flesh, you all see what's going on this earth. in our own cities, our own country, our own economy, our own race, our own everything. It looks like God isn't reigning. We're in this time of in between. We're in this time of behind the scenes. But don't we know God is reigning? But the point I want to make is we're in between. We're in between what? Oh, one day, every eye is going to see him. And everyone will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And every knee will bow and confess that to the glory of God the Father. But in this time of in between, it's like he is rejected of men. Even now, Jesus is despised. You all can see that. You can see how Jesus is despised and rejected. Now, sometime it might be in a mocking way, laughing way, kidding him off, playing God for a joke. He is no one's joke. He is not to play with. He is the Almighty God. And that's part of still his persecution and his sufferings. Even now, Jesus is still in that period of he's king. He's Lord, but we suffer with him. We suffer with him even now. Verse 25, Luke chapter 17, and our time is almost up. Verse 25, but first, that's where we are now in time. First, Jesus must suffer many things and be rejected by who? By this generation. That's the group we're in, by this generation. Now, we're going to find out next week, Lord willing, that then the Bible goes back to verse 26. It goes backwards because verse 26 starts talking about Noah. Now, when was Noah? Well, Noah was way back there. Noah was in Genesis. Noah was way, way back. How old is Noah? We could all say, you talk about old. Noah was old. But then verse 26 says, as it was in the days of Noah. There's an equal sign. Equal meaning just this happened and this is going to happen just like it. As it was. That's equal. As it was in the days of Noah. Now, I want you to this week go back and read about Noah. And you need to go to Genesis. I believe it starts at Genesis chapter 6. I believe that's where it starts. Genesis chapter 6. And it's quite a few chapters about the flood and all of that. But Genesis tells us about Noah. Verse 26 gives us an equal sign, as it was. In the days of Noah. Noah? Everybody say Noah. Girl, we ain't talking about Noah. Noah, you mean that one who built the boat? Yeah, the one who built the boat, the ark. As it was, equal sign, in the days of Noah. And this is what I want you to read about Noah. And how was it in the days of Noah? Well, you may know, but that's why I sent you all that cute cartoon this week. As it was in the days of Noah, here comes the equal sign, so it will be also in the days of the second coming, in the days of the Son of Man. There's your equal sign. So that, and then verse 27 goes on to tell us what it was like. And you pick up your today's newspaper, yesterday's newspaper, the Genesis edition, and you find out it's the same thing. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word that looks backwards, it looks forward, it's true, it was good in yesterday's generation, it's good for today, and it will be good for tomorrow. We thank you. You are the living God. You are the God who never changes. We praise you. Your word was relevant in Genesis, relevant in Matthew, relevant in my life. And in the life of all these around me, in the life of everyone, there is a word from the Lord. We ask you now, Father, to be with us through this week. We can't make it without you. be with us through this week and keep us in your care until we meet again. May our light so shine before men, women, boys, and girls that they might see our good works and glorify you, our Father, which is in heaven. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Next week, we'll continue with Noah. We're going to continue starting at Noah. God bless everyone.
God bless you.
God bless,
God bless you. Thank you for the teaching.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Stay in the boat.
Yeah.
And that boat,
right. That's the boat. Right.
That boat is Jesus. He is our heart.
We can see.
Amen. He is our heart. Amen.
Amen.
God bless everybody.
Amen.
God
bless
you. Love you. Love you.
Oh, love you this week.
Love you.
Amen.
Love you.
Love you. Bye-bye. We have to go.
Bye.
Because we're under time. Yes. And time says you got to get out of here. God bless everybody.
Okay, bye-bye.
Have a beautiful week.
Okay. You too.
You do the same.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Remember to invite people to class.
I invited someone today.
Praise God.
Nettie, I don't know whether you remember her. She was in Bread of Life.
Yeah, who? Nettie?
Nettie. Her name was Nettie.
You
kind of remember because you gave a speech part. So you might remember if you see her on Zoom, she comes in. I think.
Okay. All right. Everyone have a great week.
All right.
You pray for me. I'll be praying for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay.
Bye, Janice.
Bye, Janice.
Yeah, bye, Janice.
And the Lucases and Cheryl Secret and Linda Moore. And
Cheryl
there's a phone
Secret,
number.
I see you on.
Good night.
Mr. Gaines, it's good to see you. It's good to see everybody.
Amen.
Good to see you
today, too. There's
Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl.
Bye, Cheryl. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.